Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Up in the attic, stormy day in Washington, D.C., episode 84. Wilbon, we're going to start with the biggest fear that any sport has with a start of a season or the restart of a season. That is a cluster of coronavirus. It happened with the Philadelphia Phillies at their training facility in Clearwater, Florida. Eight people, including five players, have tested positive for coronavirus. They've shut down the training facility. Toronto has done the same thing, shut down its training facility in Dunedin, Florida, when one player showed symptoms, didn't yet test positive. What does this make you think for starts and restarts?
Tony, the thing I've been thinking for the last couple of weeks is hard. I mean, I know I've used the phrase, it's hard to re-enter any industry, and the sports industry may be the hardest because of the physicality involved. And so, and the numbers of people. And despite saying, oh, yeah, we're going to socially distance, that's not reasonable. And so we heard reports last week of NFL coaches, a couple of them going on the record saying, hey, how are we going to do this? And so you've got to look at each one of these sports. Now, I know this is being successfully done with the Bundesliga. So soccer in Germany, at least in one league, and Premier League is coming back soon. We're going to have to turn eyes, Tony, and ears to those sports which are able to do this successfully. But you're talking about Florida, one of the hot spots, and there's lots of hot spots. People like to act like there's one or two. Oh, you're in Arizona, you're in the hospital. 21 or 22 cities are up in terms of percentage of infections. What are people talking about? But Florida is a leading one. And so there's states.
That's right. That's right.
And so, Tone, I mean, all of these concerns are going to have to be addressed.
So let me get to Florida specifically. It is one of those states that reopened early and reopened wide. All right. And now they've had spikes in coronavirus. And the reason Florida is important is because the NBA and the WNBA and the MLS are all thinking about playing in Orlando. And I believe the number in Orlando, they were up 15% yesterday in positive tests. Look, you can test and you can test and you can test. And you can isolate the people who have the coronavirus. And you can quarantine when you come back. But I'm not sure you can eliminate this. So what you can do is you can start a season. I don't know that you can finish the season when you want to. And I don't know that you can schedule the games when you want. You're at the mercy of the virus, don't you think?
Yes, I think. Yes. I just said to you twice this week, maybe we were on the phone, maybe we were on the air. Tony, how's pro football going to do this without a bubble? Now, I think going into
don't
a
know.
Bubble, you control what you can control. But as you suggest, you can't control everything. But, Tony, without that control factor where you test all the time and you can keep sort of people who are testing positive out of the bubble or people that you don't know how they'll test out of the, maybe the bubble can control some of this, but we don't know. And each sport is going to have to admit that, Tony, and they're going to have to perhaps turn back to experts in medicine and in science and say, help us out. What are we doing that you like? Is there something that we're doing that's inadequate? Tell us, give us your opinions and your expertise.
So I think that both of us believe that if this can work out, it can work out with basketball and hockey, because every week or so, the amount of people will be cut by half because they're going into the playoffs. A bubble might be successful if the duration is only, say, two and a half months. Can't put people in football in a bubble for 5 or 6 months. Can't put people in baseball in a bubble and play in your own home stadiums. You just can't. It's not possible to do. So what we do is we watch around the world and we see how it works. And maybe we emulate how it works. Maybe.
And I should have mentioned South Korea, Tony, with baseball and sort of looking at what they're doing as well, because that's going to have to be paid attention to also. Let's move to a sports story. Speaking of football, Jets safety Jamal Adams and his reported request to be traded, Tone. The 24-year-old All-Pro has wanted a new deal by the start of this season, despite being under his rookie contract for the next two seasons. The Bears recently gave just such a deal to Eddie Jackson, big star Eddie Jackson, and the Panthers gave one to Christian McCaffrey, even bigger star, Tone. How should the Jets, the team of your youth, respond to Mr. Adams?
They should respond by paying him. He's been there 3 years. 2 years ago, he made the Pro Bowl. Last year, he made the Pro Bowl and was first team All-Pro. They got a really good player here. Tom Brady is no longer on New England. It is possible that some other team in that division can win the division. You got a really good player. Pay him. This is what the Cowboys did with Ezekiel Elliott. Look, it's not like he said, I hate it here in New York. He didn't say that. He said, pay me. So you got to go pay him.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I agree, Tony. I mean, you don't want to trade him away. You could. I mean, football teams take very seriously the notion that they have all the control. They have all the control because you can cut you at any time they want because your contract is not guaranteed. Very, very few contracts, if any, are guaranteed, not quarterbacks. And so this guy, I mean, he's had a rise. I mean, his chart is just, it's just taken off. I mean, he's better every year far. Eddie Jackson's a real good comp, as they say, because he plays essentially the same position. The system might be different, but Eddie Jackson has an impact on a great defense in Chicago. So if the Jets, you're right, if the Jets want to step up and into the void that we think that some think is going to be left, you know, by the New England Patriots departing, I'm not subscribing to that, but some are, then why wouldn't you keep Mr. Adams and build your defense in part around him?
So you can have, you know, you can be a nuisance and you can get traded. Jalen Ramsey got traded out of Jacksonville. Minka Fitzpatrick, these are all defensive backs, got traded out of Miami. You drafted this kid number 6 overall. You hoped he would be great. He's great.
He is.
You drafted Sam Darnold, I believe, 3 overall. You hoped he would be great. If they're both great and your scouts were right, pay them the money. Once again, Mike, he didn't say, I hate it here. I hate the coach. I hate everything. He just said, pay me. If you've got a great player, I think you pay him. Let me stay in football sort of, kind of, but we'll go to colleges. Greg Sankey, who's the commissioner of the SEC, has put the state of Mississippi on notice. If they don't get rid of their state flag, which still has, and I believe it's the only state that still has the stars and bars in it, the SEC is not going to hold any championships in the state of Mississippi at Ole Miss or Mississippi State. Now, it's not like they were going to have the SEC championship in football or basketball there. No. But in 2022, they were going to have the track and field championship. The NCAA is taking the same position. No championships if you don't get rid of the flag. Do you think this threat will cause a change?
Well, Tony, we're talking about economic sanctioning. And that's what we're talking about. I think the last championship SEC that was played in the state of Mississippi was 2016. Maybe it was softball, if I think I remember reading that somewhere this morning. Tony, it depends on the leverage that the economic sanction would provide. I don't know enough about the state of Mississippi. I tell you what's interesting, no matter what you're talking about getting rid of, what's going to happen when somebody says, okay, now you got to get rid of the nickname Rebels? What's going to happen then? I mean,
that's right.
This is going to
that's
come
right.
up. And you know, I keep expecting a lot of pushback on some of these items, not all of them. But, the SEC, does it do enough there? Is that going to make people say, okay, you're hurting me now. You're twisting my, you're breaking my arm. I'll get rid of this. There's got to be real force applied, Tony. And I'm not so sure that this is going to be enough leverage. What about you?
So, well, what I find very interesting is that Ole Miss is the University of Mississippi and Mississippi State, two public schools in a state. They don't fly that flag. They don't
That's
have
right.
it on campus. They don't have it in their athletic facilities. That's a wow to me, and this has been going on for a while. One of the reasons they don't, I'm sure, is that it's very hard to recruit black athletes to some place that has the stars and bars in the flag. You mentioned that they were still the Rebels. There's no way other than looking historically at that as an endorsement of the Confederate States of America. So I don't know what they do with that. I think the pushback will be this, Mike. I think people in the state legislature may say, you know, there's a liberal element in these schools because kids come in from out of state. They're not like the people who live here. So we don't have to listen to them or this conference. But I'm pretty certain someone's going to get up in that legislature and they're going to say, you know what? It's time. This is the right thing. It sends the wrong message to a sizable community in the United States of America. We ought to do this because there's no future and there's no progress at all with the Confederate flag. I told you this about NASCAR. So, yes, I think it's going to, I think the combination of righteousness and the possible economic hammer with this, they're going to work in tandem.
The economic hammer has worked. I mean, I'm sitting in a place where it worked to some degree already.
That's right.
And we've seen in North Carolina, we saw this, Tony.
That's right.
You know, I don't know. I tell you what, you mentioned one a theme that really is maybe even more leveraged than economic sanction, and that's recruitment. I mean, if you get some movement, you know, I mean, if you get some movement and people say, you know what? The state of Mississippi is going to have to deal with us saying no. Just say no. We're going to just say no to the schools in Mississippi, even though the schools are on board, as you point out, Mississippi and Mississippi
they
State
are
already on board. But if you say if you're a top recruits, the new Marcus Duprees, if you will say, you know what? I'll leave. I'll just leave. If you don't listen to what we're saying here, and it's going to be an interesting battle, Tony. Let's go to something that's a little less contentious right now, golf, where Bryson DeChambeau shot 7 under this morning. I'm sure you're keeping up with that. To be among the leaders at the RBC Heritage at Hilton Head, DeChambeau finished 3rd last week at the Colonial. He's leading the tour so far in driving distance after putting on about 40 pounds and swinging out of his shoes. Tony, do you think we'll see more players follow DeChambeau and the weight muscle gain and swinging out of his shoes to increase driving distance?
So we have seen players get bigger, get stronger. Rory McIlroy got bigger. Brooks Koepka got bigger. But we haven't seen the kind of weight gain that we've seen deliberately with DeChambeau. Now, it's not enough to just say he's leading in driving distance. You got to give a number. It's 324 yards, Mike. He's putting it down. He's teeing it up, and he's hitting it 324 yards. He's so strong, he's going over the trouble. Like, he's ending up on a golf course driver wedge. I mean, these numbers are incredible. Will we see a lot of people do it? Like, I don't know. He's a mad scientist out there, and his laboratory is his body. If he wins tournaments this way, other people have to think, I want to look like that guy.
Now, before we get back into this, Tony, I'm just being told right now that Nick Watney has become the first player on the tour, PGA Tour, to test positive, and he is withdrawing immediately, we're told, from the RBC, which was just mentioned. So, you know,
right,
team sport, individual sport, nothing. Individual workplace, I mean, people just aren't going to escape the virus. We know that. Now we'll see later this afternoon, and I'm sure over the weekend, how the tour and players are going to react to this. But Tony, DeChambeau is interesting because I don't think anybody's going to follow him. He's eccentric, to say the least, and this is not a judgment. He's eccentric. All of his clubs are the same length. People aren't following DeChambeau. He marches to his own drumbeat. Good for him. And he's gone out there first. I thought, oh, my God, is he in a Sean Kemp situation? 3 months off or the season starts late. He just blows up. Well, he did this with some method to his madness. Tony, I don't think anybody's going to follow it. I don't even know if it works. He's a pretty good putter. He was in the 30s last year. He's like 22 on tour, you know, strokes made up in putting this year. That's going to be more important, or at least as important, as driving it 360 yards. But I don't believe anybody's going to follow DeChambeau. He's his own dude.
Okay, so he's a mad scientist out there, and he now looks like the Incredible Hulk. And as you say, all the clubs have the same length. But he finished one shot out at Colonial. And if he wins this thing this week, I think people are going to look that way. It used to be, if you were a fat guy, you tried to lose weight. Jack Nicklaus was referred to as Fat Jack.
Fat Jack,
when he was a very young man. And then he looked great after that. Nobody has ever tried to gain a whole bunch of weight, but at 324 yards off the tee, if you go over all the trouble all the time and start winning, people will think about it. They will. I think they will think about it. I do.
I'm not putting this weight back on just to be longer off the tee. Sorry, I'm not even following DeChambeau.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Let's go to the happies with the glasses and the legal pad. Happy 32nd birthday, Jacob DeGrom. The New York Mets right-hander won his second straight Cy Young last year with an 11-8 record, a 2.43 ERA, and a league-leading 255 strikeouts. In his Cy Young year of 2018, DeGrom led the majors with a 1.70 ERA. When DeGrom came up in 2014, he was 9-6, 2.69 ERA, he won Rookie of the Year. But for most of his career, he was perceived as being first behind the Dark Knight of Gotham, Matt Harvey, and then the Viking Prince, Noah Syndergaard. Now DeGrom is the Mets' unquestioned ace. He said before the work stoppage his goal was to win a third straight Cy. If he does, Mike, he'll be the first pitcher to do so since Randy Johnson won four straight from 1999 to 2002. Greg Maddux is the only other pitcher to win three straight, and he also won four straight from 1992 to 1995. But old guys like me and Wilbon, we know that pitchers are now measured by fancy stats and metrics like WHIP. But DeGrom's record over the last 2 years is 21-17. When we were young, Mike, if you were 21-17 over two full seasons, you didn't win anything.
Right behind me, a gentleman is coaching, Herm Edwards. Why do we play? Just remind people. Remind people, the young ones.
To win the game.
Why do we play? To win the damn game. That's it. So you take your wins over replacement, you take all of that, you get out. Get out. Win the game. All right, DeGrom, great. Win the game.
Happy anniversary, LeBron James. On this day 4 years ago, LeBron fulfilled his dream of ending a 52-year title drought in Cleveland by winning the NBA championship. The last Cleveland team to win a pro title was the Browns in 1964. The Cavaliers overcame a 3-1 deficit to beat Golden State. LeBron scored 27 points in Game 7, was named Finals MVP. Over his time in Miami and Cleveland, LeBron would go to 8 straight finals. But after all the parades were done, LeBron left Cleveland for the Lakers. Unlike the first time he left Cleveland to take his talents to South Beach, nobody burned his jersey, because this time he delivered a championship. Last year, the Lakers were a disaster. LeBron didn't even make the playoffs. But if the NBA does indeed restart and does indeed finish this season and the Lakers win the championship, as many think could happen, LeBron would become the first player to lead three different franchises to NBA titles. But this may be more a commentary on free agency, Mike, than on LeBron.
Tony, you said LeBron's the only one to lead a championship if he wins with the Lakers to three different teams. You're not counting my man, Big Shot Bob Horry? You're not counting Spider Sally? They did three. I know Horry had Houston, San Antonio, and the Lakers. And Sally had what? Detroit, the Lakers, and the Bulls. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Lead is the operative verb.
Lead
not
is
just
the
be there and contribute. Lead.
Let me, trails, go on. Potential. Let me say this one other thing about LeBron. More than the basketball, what I love about LeBron James is how he goes about his business, how he goes about his life, his public life, how he stands for stuff, what he stands for, that he always seems to just, so well does he represent the league he plays for, the teams he plays for, and the sport he plays for and leads. I care all about all of that more than how many teams for LeBron James, who he is.
Happy trails to potential plumbing problems at the Raiders' new stadium. What could possibly be better leading into a weekend than a little bathroom humor? The Raiders' new stadium in Las Vegas passed its super flush test. All the bathroom fixtures, all 1,430 toilets and urinals, and all 297 bathroom sinks were flushed or turned on at the same time to see if the plumbing could handle the stress of 65,000 fans, as if 65,000 fans are going to be let in anywhere at any time soon. This is an area of sensitivity for the Raiders because the last place they played, the Oakland Coliseum, has an unfortunate history of sewage spills. In fact, at Oakland A's games, one wag wrote that the seventh inning stretch turned into the seventh inning stench with some regularity. Now, a couple of questions suggest themselves about the super flush. Did the Raiders bring in 1,600 people to activate all the fixtures at the same time? Or did they just go over to a casino and get all those people from Riverdance to do it? And what will go down the bowl first? The waste from the stadium or the Raiders' playoff chances?
That's cold. Really? Is that how you want to go into a weekend talking about bowl humor? And you're never going to go to that stadium. Yeah. Nobody's ever going to get you out of your attic. Nobody's ever going to get you out of the attic at any time, no matter how far afield you are from quarantine.